Hi.
And welcome to the Diablo podcast, your home for Diablo diehards, Diablo tryhards, hardcore and casual alike. I am your host, Zamp, and I'm joined by my triumvirate of co-hosts, Nineball.
Oh, hi.
And Nerdwurtz.
Hello.
And boy, do we have a daunting task today. We are coming off of the campfire chats here on March 20th for you, Leviathan. Basically, we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about all of the campfire chats, which is a lot, 2 hours worth of content, and ruminate, discuss. Now, before we get into that, let's just briefly dip our toes into the gauntlet. Last time we talked, the gauntlet was just on the precipice. We've had a chance now for three iterations of it. How has your gauntlet been, guys?
Well, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
So non-existent. Yeah, I mean, I jumped in. So the first day it launched, I jumped in. I gave myself, I think, like 4 or 5 rounds of it. Tried it out. It was pretty fun. I enjoyed it for sure. I did the same thing kind of the next Tuesday when it rolled out, but I did not find myself like superbly intrigued, right? Like I expected to be a lot more engaged with it than I was. Mind you, real life stuff, work, things like that have kind of come up as well too. So I didn't spend a ton of time with it. I definitely gave each week a shot, but I was on the leaderboard for the first one, and then I was very much not on the leaderboard by the end of the week. And I know that like some of the scores and stuff on there were insane. I know there's some things with like shrines and stuff that were going on that were nonsense that they fixed recently. But yeah, I had fun with it. I did not engage with it as much as I intended to engage with it. I plan to do more of it in the future. I think part of it is just we're in that kind of mid-season late season lull, and I've got other things kind of pulling my attention away a little bit, both in gaming and in real life. But it was cool. It was fun. I hope they continue to expand and iterate on it, but we'll see kind of where it goes. I didn't spend the time with it I wanted to.
So it's fair, guys. I have been deemed worthy.
Nice.
And I want to pretend it's because I'm really good at this game. And I'm just obliterating people left and right. And it's just like, oh, Zayath, you're so good. Truth of the matter is, if you are like, I want to eventually make it into the leaderboards, just play hardcore. Just play hardcore. The amount of people who are on the leaderboards is so minute. And it definitely was eye-opening to me to get an idea of how many people are playing hardcore right now. And I totally agree with you and what you were saying, Nerdwurtz. It is the mid-season. Nobody's as jazzed to play. But there weren't even 1,000 people on some of the leaderboards for hardcore. So all you really had to do was get a score of 1 and you could make it. Granted, that was just the 1,000. That wasn't the top 100, top 250, whatever it would be. But I did manage to place on both my rogue and my druid. And I was close to a necromancer just the other day before I died. If anybody's counting, the amount of hardcore 100s I've killed this year or this season is 3. I've killed 3
nice
hardcore 100s so far. Soon to be a 4th before the season is over, which is a nice segue. So as we're talking about the season and its most recent iteration, the Gauntlet, we get this massive campfire chat today going over what season 4 is bringing to the table. And it's not its actual season mechanic. It's massive itemization changes. And essentially, it does appear that Diablo 4 is going to be a completely new game. But the one downside of all this information is that we're going to have to wait a little bit for it to happen. We're not going to be getting season 4 until about May 14th, I believe. And in the meantime, we'll get a PTR with enough time to hopefully implement some of those changes. So, full disclosure, both Nineball and I are Diablo partners, so we were privy to a lot of this information last week. However, there were still a bunch of surprises kind of tossed in that we didn't even know about, which made this campfire chat even more exciting. So, hearing about the delay, what was your reaction, nervous?
Oh, I mean, it makes sense, right? I definitely think it makes sense. I mean, I'd rather them get it right, right? Like, let's not rush it. Let's get it right. I feel like some of that could have been superseded by launching it a little sooner. But at the same time, like, we're not really on a time crunch for any reason that I'm aware of, right? In the regular world, it doesn't exist in boardrooms and stockholder meetings, so or shareholder meetings. So I think that like it's good to see that they're taking the game priority first. And the quality of what they're putting out first, rather than trying to rush it out and just get it out to, make everyone happy and, increase, user engagement. So I think that that's really, really good. Obviously, not super excited to wait a little longer. Like, I'm really excited to jump into season four and try it out, but we're going to be able to do that with the PTR anyway, and that'll scratch that itch. Plus, it'll give me a good idea of what the gameplay loops are going to look like going into season four, because obviously, we're going to talk a lot about it, is going to be very different. And I think that's really cool. So yeah, I'm glad that they're taking steps to make sure it's done right. I think that's the right thing to do.
You know, we had talked about it a little bit last show. We were trying to speculate like when that P we knew there was going to be a PTR when it would hit. At the time, I just couldn't foresee them pushing the date. I couldn't foresee that
Right.
actually happening because it seems like you talk about like with stockholders and what have you that like this is them saying like, oh, we need more time. And I'm happy to honestly kind of see it. I'm happy to see that they can do that. Like, one of the biggest criticisms about Diablo 4 has been that it's felt very rushed, right? That we've been trying, they got pushed out too early. There are a lot of things that needed work, and it feels good that they can take this time and maybe they don't have to worry as much now about that initial kind of crunch and they can get it right. So I'm all for it.
The one thing that I was going to say in relation to like all the dates going through and being pushed back, when we were in that roundtable discussion, they didn't quite give us the dates of when like the season would be pushed back. So like we did not know. We were told that it'd be delayed, but we didn't find out. I was gonna make the joke that it's like I know exactly when you all are gonna delay the season two, and it's when I'm in the Keys because I'm taking a vacation in May. And while thankfully it is not that week, it is the week after, so I can't really take time off.
Wow. Here you are again with
Rip.
another season start that you don't get to fully enjoy.
Yeah.
Woe is you. I
Woe is
selfishly
me.
am going to be rather lucky. I'm going to Europe next week. And when I come back is when the PTR launches. And then I've got my 50-mile race, which is the weekend before the new season. So, like, everything's lining up for Xanth, and I think that is a total win for me. And
Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
I'm yeah, pretty much. I'm okay with that. Now, timelines aside, there's a lot to chew on in this in this campfire. So why don't we start with crafting? Something that has not existed in Diablo 4 that we've pined for many times. I think let's preface. We've been doing this podcast for over a year and a half. This is episode 52. We have talked many times about crafting. It is weird to like get to these moments and have like the realization of like, well, what am I going to complain about now? I mean, we'll find something. We will definitely find something. But to see some of these things finally come to light is so nice. There were so many of those small moments today of just like, okay, this is gonna be great. I'm excited for this. And it just feels like a total win across the board. So let's talk crafting. There's a couple of new crafting systems that we're going to get. We've got Masterworking, and we've got it starts with a T, and now I'm blanking.
A T. Tempering. Tempering.
There it is.
Yeah.
There we go.
There's many new terms to learn now. So,
right.
Yeah.
So we've got Tempering, we've got Masterworking. Both exciting. Guys, I said this before. I've lost 3 100 hardcore characters. I've been leveling a lot. And like, you reach that point where it's like nothing's I equipped my gear at 60. I equipped my gear at 80. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. That's not going to be the case anymore. We're going to find things that we're going to improve. And then we're going to find more things that we get to improve. And then I'm going to want to keep finding things. But I'm doing a disservice and I'm talking too much. Let's start with Tempering. So, initial thoughts on the Tempering system being introduced.
That's the one where you add affixes, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it seems cool. It seems cool. It seems like it's going to give us a little more control. I think that the side effect of just the loot you find being easier to sort through because there's less to read will be really positive and really good. When they mentioned they were reducing the number of affixes on items, obviously I went, uh-oh, that's immediately a power hit. Then they talked about the Tempering and then the other system as well too. That obviously is going to add that power right back, and it's going to be even more optimized for whatever it is you're wanting to do. So that seems really good. It just more control over your character and your loot and more interesting ways to interact with that is really good. I've never really cared as much for crafting. Crafting can be really impactful. It has been in past games, but it's not super necessary to create a good ARPG experience, in my opinion. But this seems like a really good system. It seems really cool. And I know it's kind of pulling pieces from different systems that exist in other games, which is also really good. It shows that the development team is looking at other solutions for problems that are in their game. I think that's positive, right? Like the grand scheme and scope of gaming in general, companies learning from each other, developers learning from each other is positive for us. So I think that's a huge win. But no, I'm definitely excited. The more control we have, the better, for sure.
It also just gives you, like you were saying, just having the more control over the items. You know, it's not even just that there are fewer affixes on the gear, because we're going from, 4 down to 3. Mm-hmm. That there are fewer rolls that it can make, even though I know that we're talking more about the crafting and not quite the itemization quite yet. But it's like it's easier to get like a godly rolled item, in order to go through and come across it, but then what, actually gives the player a little bit more agency in it is that then you take it over to the temper system and then you get to add, those two extra affixes to it that you want, or at least try to gamble for it. So one of the things that, even though it's going to be easier to get a great statted item, is that you will kind of go through them because you only have so many rolls with the tempering system that you can put into that item. All the items are going to have like a durability. And so you do like your temper recipe and it has a couple of different outcomes. Most of them are like good for you. And you really, really want to get like a bone spear damage. And so you roll it twice before you get bone spear, and then on your second affix you like cap out. You're trying to get like resource cost reduction or something like that, and you tap out. Your three remaining tempers, you fail. So now you can use an item, it's still really good. You've already know that your first three affixes are what you were looking for. You got one of the two tempers. But then you unfortunately didn't roll that fifth slot. So now you just have to find another one. So it kind of like it's a great system of, even though that they kind of like simplified the loot and made like that grind a little bit easier. The point is that you're looking for more of those items because it's going to take a couple of run-throughs, you know, before you craft the actual GG item.
I think what was really intriguing to me was looking at some of those tempering options, because they only gave us a small snippet, but like the Necromancer Bone ones felt like much more build altering, where you had the option to temper it so that the spinny bone one. What's the spinny bone one?
Oh, the bone storm that increases bone storm, the duration.
That's it. Yeah. They should use that in the tooltip. It's the spinny one.
The spinny one.
But the
you have to put on the expert tooltips in order to get that one.
Yeah. It's the spinny one.
Of course.
But your bone storm would be having an increased duration, right? Which, you know, like, hey, that's pretty cool. But then there was also like your bone shards will echo.
Yeah, the bone splinters have a chance that whenever you cast bone splinters, it casts twice. So you get twice as many projectiles, you're refilling your resource a little bit more. Because there was also the chance for bone spear to cast twice, or increasing the explosion side of bone spirit. The ones that they showed off.
So as you could tell before by my bone spinny description, I played a little Necromancer. To me, like as I was looking through and reading those felt like things that could alter my build. That would be where I would maybe want to move. And that's not something that is located just on a unique. That's on a legendary that I have control over, that I'm not as super dependent on RNG.
And that's not the legendary aspect.
Right, exactly. And it's not, again, something that I have to wait to kind of equip. It's something that I have agency over. And that's just one of the tempering options that they showed us. That's pretty cool. That to me, you know, my biggest criticism, and I think it's still going to remain, is that the skill tree still feels pretty bare.
Right.
This feels like a branch of a skill tree, though, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a way to kind of build. Like I can't do it on the tree, but like I've got a little bit more agency here with the items that I'm choosing to like make things kind of be mine, so that my Necromancer, based on my choices, is a little different. And there's always going to be optimized builds, right? Like all the build sites will exist for a reason, including ours at Pure Diablo. Please go and upload your builds so I can steal them. But I can make my Necromancer a little different than Nineball's Necromancer. I can make my Druid a little different than, you know, somebody else's. That's exciting. And that makes me even more optimistic about kind of where we go from here.
Yeah, I would agree with that last part specifically. I think where that goes from here is going to be really awesome, right? Like, especially if it works well and they like the interactions it has with, you know, the player base and how they're interacting with their characters. Because there's so much room for that in the game, right? Like, I mean, so many like little tweaks and alters you could do to so many different spells and abilities to make them more interesting or more unique or a little different, right? I think it's really cool. Really, really cool. I am very excited about that because it wasn't just like, okay, flat damage, right? It's how interactions can change, and that's cool. And there is still the damage elements. You're going to have that. You're going to have, you know, things that increase your movement and your, you know, maneuverability in general, things like that, which is good. But it also has these really cool, like interesting interactions that can have too. And again, getting our hands on it's going to be super cool just to try to play around with it, see how it goes. And, you know, I really like the idea of how that can be implemented. Obviously, I'm a sorcerer, right? So like I'm thinking about my sorcerer and like how that can impact, you know, spells like Blizzard and Meteor and things like that, and like how it can really change how they work and how other games are doing that. So I think it's really, really cool. Really cool to see.
No complaints, right? In tandem with this, as we're looking at making legendary stronger, and we'll come to masterworking in a bit, the Codex, right? Our Codex of Power is getting completely revamped, which they've alluded to before. It's been a gigantic burden having to hoard aspects that were good. And then also having to look through every legendary to see if it was a better version of an aspect that you might be equipping. And that just wasn't fun because you weren't picking up legendaries because you liked it. You were picking up legendaries because like maybe that percentage is the max that you don't have equipped on your ring or your boots or whatever. Now we can just do that. We can just salvage stuff and go right from the codex. This feels good.
No, no more holding on to that one singular perfect rolled umbral that you got waiting for your build to actually like fully come online, because it's useless if you don't have the max roll.
Right. I think of, and I'm curious when if they said it in the stream, correct me, but with the shift to the codex, if we're still going to be locked behind having to hit level 25 or unlock a dungeon to get that going, or if we can go right from the start. Did I miss anything on that? Or has that changed?
I believe that you it's I believe it's the system itself is changing slightly, and so that you don't actually have to extract the power from the occultist anymore, that you'll get the legendary aspects when you salvage it. So if you do get a legendary before 25 and you salvage it, that will unlock the Codex of Power.
So like essentially the
I could be mistaken though, but I believe that's what I remember.
that's how I understood it too.
Right.
And like essentially you won't have to go to the occultist for all that anymore. It'll just, as you salvage, upgrade your Codex of Power, because that's what they showed in the gameplay demo. You know, they salvaged an item and then it showed a little icon on the top left that showed that the Codex was updated. And I think it was what, 16 ranks, I think, to get it maxed out all the way.
Depending on the aspect, yeah.
Yeah, not every aspect will have 16 ranks, and
Okay.
the 16th rank for those that have it, or whatever the top tier of that one is only going to be found in World Tier 4.
But yeah, I mean, I think the big win here is stash space. I mean, that clears up 99% of my stash space, right? No longer am I going to hold on to, you know, one, the actual like legendary aspects. Those are gone. That's really cool. That saves a ton of room. And then on top of that too, like the items that I was saving that had aspects that I didn't want to salvage it because I didn't have room to hold the aspects, I was just holding the item in my stash, I could just, you know, zap them and get them, you know? So that's, I think that's a huge win too. A huge stash space boon just in that one change alone. And that's a massive win.
Yeah, I want to say just like you, like probably 90% of my stash was just holding gear or aspects, you know, or in the gear that I was holding was for the aspects.
Yeah, I mean, and from an alt standpoint too, you know, having multiple characters and then again multiple aspects, multiple items, to just not have to deal with that, to have that clean UI and just be able to go and grab and apply, I'm totally fine with. You're gonna get no complaints. Though I will state again, if I've done on one character, just let me do it right at level one. If I have a rare, let me do it, and then I will be totally happy. Because again, I'm going to die a lot, as they have shown, and we'll cover that. It's going to be harder, but we'll come to that. Items themselves changing, fewer affixes, which we've already alluded to. Let's hit the big one. If we're going to talk items, right? Rares are kind of becoming the blues, right? We're focused. Legendaries are going to be king, and I thought this was amazing. And them being able to recognize and say like, hey, if we really want to push you guys to having legendaries, and rares aren't going to have that value in our new systems, you guys should be able to trade legendaries and uniques. This caught me
But
off
not
guard,
Ubers.
but not Ubers, right? You trade everything else except for these seven items, which then, of course, makes me want to trade them even more. No, I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
Though, dude, I will say, just to interject really quick, even the Ubers, though you won't be able to trade them, will be easier to find with some of the other changes that are coming that we'll talk about later, too, which is also really good. But anyways, I digress.
It's just wins on wins on wins. But we can trade legendaries. We can trade uniques. I mean, at this point, over the course of the season, there has to be a unique that you've wanted to find that you couldn't or took forever. What if you could trade for it?
Yeah.
Not that anybody's going to want it in season four, but a Tybalt's will, I cannot find for the life of me. Season four's equivalent, I'll be able to trade for it. That's awesome. I want that. Mm-hmm. Druids, Tempest Roar. I bet I got lucky this season, but I'm sure next I will need to trade for it. Yes, more of that, please. I don't know how we're going to trade for it because that's a messy system. But that we can, you hop into Discord and we'll figure that out. But baby steps, baby steps. First, we can trade the items. Then we figure out an effective way to trade the items. can't do it all at once.
Yeah, I think it's I've been asking for this for a long time. I think this creates an interesting like, again, loop at the end of the game, right? Like, where now, okay, like, even if you're not someone who wants to push like really top end content, you're not trying to push like the super hard difficulty things and try to get to tier 100s and beyond or whatever you want to do. Maybe you're not interested, super interested in engaging in the boss ladder. Maybe you just like doing just Helltide stuff, right? You like doing just normal dungeons. Maybe you hate the aspect system, or the affix system for nightmare dungeons, and you just want to avoid that system altogether. Like, I don't know, maybe someone else that we know. Now, right, you can still play the game, create an economy through trading up, right, and really going after that, especially if it's a good economy out there and there's a lot of people engaging with it. Kind of like in Diablo 2, right? In Diablo 2, there's so many different ways to play the game, but one of the best ways and one of the biggest in-game loops was, okay, I've got a little bit of wealth. Can I trade to get more wealth out of that, right? And that's going to be really cool. And it's awesome they added it in, right? So, obviously there's probably going to be some integrity piece there to keep an eye on, right? Like, because there's been a lot of bugs with trading, with gold duping and item duping and all that stuff. But they've been very active and quick to make adjustments when they needed to and turn stuff off if they needed to, if it was being exploited. So I trust the team to kind of make the right call there. I just think it's a huge win. Again, another big win, right? Everyone's winning here today, but another big win. Trading is a positive, I think so.
I think in tandem with that, a thought that just kind of came into my head. I've jumped a few times, Druid, Rogue, Necro, and I'm back at Druid.
Still haven't played a sorcerer. I'm ashamed.
Not gonna. I didn't play a barb either, so I'm not going to. I'll play a barb in season six when they suck. Because I hate myself. That's why I play hardcore.
Somebody, please timestamp this and remind Zant, just in case barbs are not still overpowered in season six.
It'll be a while. I have a lot of druid items just kind of sitting there, and that always makes it easier to go back and re-roll a druid. It's going to be nice to maybe be able to offer up, like, hey, I've got a Tempest Roar, and I need a Tybalt's Will, or I need that fancy new sorcerer unique.
I'm so excited about that item. We'll talk about that later, but I'm very excited about that item.
That's going to be kind of cool because the one thing that really does suck with the personalized loot is you're always only finding stuff for your class, right? As opposed to D2, in which you could find items for other classes and maybe be like, oh, well, now's my sign that I need to be playing a sorcerer. Now is my sign that I need to be playing on Amazon or whatever it might be. So it's not quite there where I'm going to find drops for other classes, but I might be able to trade my duplicates for something I would use on a class I'm thinking about starting where I normally would have not, because I didn't want to farm the extra gear. So just putting it out there, if I've got a spare Tempest Roar and one of you guys wants to trade me for something, let's make that happen. I think that'll be awesome.
Yeah, because they also announced that you'll be able to trade between hardcore and softcore too, right?
You bozos. I'm talking about the people out there that listen.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, who also play hardcore.
I was confused.
You know, the other people who are worthy.
Speaking of hardcore, you want to talk about those changes real quick?
Yeah, we probably should. So I got a few messages about this, and I'm all for it. So first things first, the cheat death passive for Sorcerer and the avoid death elixir are going away. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it's for the best. It's one of those things, just like in Diablo 3, where if you have an option to prevent death with a passive or item, by default, you're always going to use it. Now, this season, I have not because I don't want to, but I'm too lazy to farm the mats to make the potion when I would rather be doing other things. Last season, it was really easy because I was just getting a bunch of them as I was doing the seasonal events. But the way the vaults have been set up, I haven't. So I just don't craft them. The last thing I want to do is go and farm a bunch of random crap for Pale Tongues so that I can make the potion. I'm not going to do that. But I do think it is nice for hardcore, because having that safety net kind of ripped away makes me more excited to see what other people do. Granted, there's, as the gauntlet has shown, there are fewer of us and fewer of us and fewer of us. But for me, I'm not really using it to begin with. I would say I've used it most if I was like level, transitioning from world tier 2 to 3 and 3 to 4 at a world boss. Like, oh, I'm going to go to world boss. Is a small chance I could get one shot. I'll pop this potion and see what's going to happen. But for the most part, I didn't do it. The sorcerer losing that as well, not a huge deal because I don't play a sorcerer, so I've never had that built in. But I think it's good. I think it's good for hardcore to kind of get rid of that. I've died plenty of times, so it's okay. And we'll all be okay as a result. It will be interesting with these itemization changes, and as they alluded, like damage reduction is going to be kind of harder to get, to see how survivability goes. And if I'm going to be as effective in season 4 at getting to 100 alive as I was during season 3. In tandem with that, Blizzard, if you are listening and you could change the Hall of Heroes, I would appreciate it, because I've been stuck at 8 for so long, and every time I die, the new one just takes the place of an old one. I'm running out of space, and I just want the option to save a few characters. Like, I really enjoyed the time with this guy, and I want him permanently memorialized, and you can get rid of these other bozos. Let's get rid of those 3 level 67 necromancers I killed, and let's permanently enshrine these level.
Are they really all that level? Are they really all that level?
They're between level 60 and 80.
Sounds like you ran into a specific roadblock that you had an issue with, like an oddly specific roadblock.
It's the jump. So the jump from world tier 3 to 4, and like I can get there at level 65, and then I'm just running in the open zone, and I just get walloped. I'm like, oh, I probably should have not done that. But I'm greedy.
See, he goes into a hell tide. He's doing fine, and then he gets overconfident and does one of the open world events, and then gets one shot.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do Xanth's hardcore death recap real quick, real quick. All 3 of my hardcore characters this season have died in the gauntlet. I'm going to tell you how. So first, Druid, level 100. No, sorry. First, Rogue, level 100. trying to speed through the gauntlet, I changed up my build to try and go a little bit faster. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be fine. I was not fine. I got overwhelmed. And I was playing a build that I didn't truly understand. That's number one. Got number two, Druid, level 100, in the gauntlet, doing great. Somehow just got overwhelmed. Like, this is not an exciting story. This is not the story that's exciting. Necromancer. I'm level 85, 86. As I mentioned before, the Druid Gauntlet, or the Hardcore Gauntlet, is not that competitive. I need to put up 5 points, and I'm in the top, like, 200 for Necromancers right now. I go in, and this was Tuesday morning. It was Tuesday morning. I go in. I'm like, okay, just get your points and get out. And then I got greedy, and I'm just getting walloped by the first boss. I'm like at level 85. I'm just not prepared. And then I start to panic. I'm like, oh crap, this is a bad idea. I'm gonna run away. That's what I was like. I'll just run away. And I get back to the entrance. I'm like, I'm gonna click, 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 click. Oh wait, that's not how this works. And by the time I was like, I'll use my scroll of escape, I was dead. So
that's tough, man.
Those are my deaths. That's my story. And I'm looking forward to more of them soon. I'm leveling up a druid. I'm gonna hit the leaderboards again. It's gonna happen before the season's out. Okay, that was our recap. That was a random tangent that I felt the need to go on.
We need to start adding a Xanth's death section to our podcast, right? Where you just recap your most recent deaths to kind of let us know the journey of the hardcore, the hardcore player.
I want to point out that prior to like season two, I never had a hardcore 100, and now I've killed 3 this season.
Impressive. It's impressive.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, actually.
You can just watch me waste my time. And that's okay. So I think there's a nice little segue in there as we're still talking about itemization. In terms of like time wasted, there's this shifting that's also happening to moving items into World Tier 1 and World Tier 2 that were never accessible. To finally be able to get uniques in World Tier 1 and 2 that enable builds early makes, you know, for every death that I'm going to have a little bit easier that, like, I might have a low-level Tempest Roar. I might have a low-level Storm Claw so that, you know, I can get my Shred Druid up and running. Not Shred, but my Storm Claw Druid up and running a little bit faster. And then, like, the build is fun to play as I'm leveling early as opposed to waiting until, like, my stash full of Sacreds or Ancestrals can finally come online. I still don't, and like, I'm sure you guys are in the same vein, I don't like having to find the same item 2 or 3 times. But until they, like, create a whole bunch more new uniques, I'm okay with, like, at least my build being operational early. Because playing a bad build to play a good build sucks.
Yeah.
I like, nobody's pro. Like, no, we need to suffer. We should suffer for 50 levels before things actually matter.
It's also just a good change, you know, of like the progression of your character. Because a lot of times you'll start out wanting to play like this specific build. And like, if that build is locked behind a unique that previously was locked to World Tier 4, then yeah, it sucked. Because you literally had to play, even if it wasn't a bad build or something like that, you had to play something other than what you wanted to.
Right. And as we were talking about before with the Codex system, everything is in the Codex. We no longer have to find those non-Codex items or non-Codex aspects to be able to enchant on gear, which, of course, never drop, right? The one that you are absolutely in need of is never going to drop. Currently, again, leveling that druid, the one that will turn Pulverize into an actual wave. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to see it until level 40. Actually, I have a level 40 version in my stash. I will find it at level 39. That is what happens. That is like, it's just what, but in season four, oh, you're level 5 and you've got your weapon, and you've got it unlocked in your stash. Yeah, great. All the work you did on your previous character makes your new character easier. And that is the way it should be. As somebody who plays a lot of alts.
Forced or otherwise.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a choice. Okay. So we are still talking about itemization because that's how big this campfire chat was. There's still more to happen about items before we go into anything else. So let's talk masterworking. So we've got our tempering. We're going to be able to change and add these new affixes or affixes. I don't know what our pronunciation is going to be. It'll alter every time we bring it up. So you'll be able to add these new affixes to any of your late 925 items. And essentially boost them up, much akin to the way we could kind of do it right now with the blacksmith, but we're going all the way to 12. We're going to push them as far as they can go. What are your thoughts, gentlemen? I've been talking a lot.
This one, I mean, it, again, on paper, seems very cool. It could also seem like a very frustrating process if you're not getting what you need and you need to constantly kind of reinvest into it. But, I don't have any familiarity with it. I haven't played with it at all. I haven't tested that and seen how it feels yet. Like, on paper, it sounds interesting. Again, it gives us more control over our characters. And if you really bungle the masterworking, then you can just kind of reset it, start over, and kind of go in a different direction or try to go in a different direction. It does introduce a different element of RNG. Which again is Diablo, right? Or if I think is the old Flux adage, if RND isn't screwing you, then you're not playing it, or RNG is not screwing you, you're not playing a Diablo game. So, adding in a little more of that makes a lot of sense. Again, I've not played with it before. I know that there's other games that have a similar system. And everyone seems to be pretty excited about it. So I'm kind of reserving that, but the nervousness of like, okay, I've got a badass item. Right, it's got great rolls on it. I masterwork it, and it does pretty well. And then it goes off a rail that I didn't want it to go. So okay, so now let's start over. If I'm doing that for like a long period of time on an item, let alone all of the items that we wear, right, that could become a little cumbersome. But I might be overthinking it, and probably am. So I'm excited to see it on the PTR again, though. More agency, more control. That's a huge positive.
Yeah, for this one, it's interesting because it's like we're losing like the crafting item level upgrade from the blacksmith, like that's going away. This isn't necessarily like it's a replacement because this is like really only like level 100. It requires materials from the pit, which is kind of like a new end game activity. Congratulations, Nerdwords, you're getting greater rifts. That it's good that like most of it is just upgrade all of your stats on the item. It's interesting that they have like the 4, 8, and 12th upgrades of the item will only buff a single stat, but then like it's a massive buff to that stat. I think I'm on the fence with it too, just because it's like you probably aren't going to be masterworking something that doesn't already have like 5 good stats on it, but obviously not all stats are created the same. And so there's going to be situations where the least powerful of those 5 stats is the one that gets upgraded. And then you're like, shoot. And while you can reset it and it's not limited what like the tempering system is, it's apparently supposed to have a very heavy cost. We have no idea what that is. It could be one of those ones where it's like, well, it took me 4 hours to grind up the materials to get it to level 8. and then it's going to take me, you know, 4 hours to grind out the materials to reset it back, you know, to zero and start again. You know, depending upon what it is, we just don't know. It's one of those ones that you'll just have to play around with and mess with to see how I'm going to feel about it. You know, to see how feels bad, man. Getting the one stat that you didn't three times in a row to level 12 is going to work out.
So we did bring it up. The masterworking system is dependent on another new endgame system, the pit, the alchemist pit, which, as I think, I'm all succinctly put, it's Greater Rifts 2.0. They're back. Nerdbirds, how happy are you to see this?
Very happy. I can just go smash and not worry about like looting and little, you know, objectives. It's just smash, 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 smash. I love that. That doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be at like lightning speed, but that is kind of the point. The point is to get through it as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Very similar to Greater Rifts, find your sweet spot, kind of stick there, build your power, go up a little bit more, right? I just, look, man, I've played a lot of Diablo, and like there's a lot of people that love and hate Diablo 3, but I loved a lot of elements of Diablo 3, and I thought the Rift system was a fantastic system. I had so much fun doing it. Every time I go back to Diablo 3, I love when it's time to just get into Rifts and Grifts. Right? Just rift, grift, rift, grift, rift. Just, you know, so any sort of that kind of coming back and showing its face again makes me super happy. Yeah. I could keep gushing, but I'm very happy.
Which, you know, if we're looking for a tagline, I think for this episode and this campfire, it's right there. Yeah. I'm pretty content. I don't have a complaint. Again, we will find one. That is the danger of this. Right now, we're in the best possible thing. We've been promised a lot. Everything looks great, and that's not to besmirch the team. But we haven't actually played it yet, so there will be criticisms. There will be stuff out there, but it is we are moving in the right direction. I think it is exciting to have a new system, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Nightmare Dungeons. We've got Hell Tides. We've got farmable bosses. We've got bosses we farm so we can farm other bosses. We've got the gauntlet. Then, you know, we have now the pit. More is always better.
I just want to say one thing. I love the name The Pit.
Yeah. Agreed, actually.
And anybody that has played a significant amount of Diablo 2 should enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice little callback.
Perfect. Honestly, perfect.
Yeah. And the random tile sets, the new timer, and the tangible reward, right? Like, I'm going to do this, and I know that at the end of it, unlike a Nightmare Dungeon, unlike, you know, a Helltide, I'm guaranteed that I'm going to walk away with something that I can use in some form. It doesn't have to be an item drop, but like I'm going to get something that I can use to make my gear better, which is valuing my time. It may not be immediate, but I'm going to walk away with something that will make my character better. That is what Diablo needs. That's what a good Diablo needs, is we need that where our time is being valued. The power doesn't have to jump all the time. But if I grind out, you know, three pits, my character is going to be better as a result of that. If currently I do three Nightmare Dungeons, my character is not guaranteed to be better than that. Oh, side note, since I'm thinking about it, the one thing we're going to lose, guys, we're going to lose vaults. And I can tell you how many Nightmare Dungeons I've ran this season. It's two. I've ran two Nightmare Dungeons. Both of those were by mistake. Like, I was just like, oh, click. Ah, shit. Okay, well, this one's kind of fast, so I'll just do it. But I don't want to. So maybe there's a lesson learned. And they have mentioned that. But yeah, we're going to have to do Nightmare Dungeons in Season 4. And there's a complaint. There's a complaint, guys. They're coming back. That's okay. That's okay. We got the pit. We can just live there. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Nightmare Dungeons aren't going to hurt us anymore. So we've got our tempering. We've got masterworking. We also have greater affixes, which is something that kind of gets wedged together with this masterworking system. And correct me if I'm wrong, is it just primals by a different name?
It's primals with like an additional RNG element on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like if you had a primal, just all of its stats are maxed. On the greater affixes, it's gonna roll anywhere between 1 and 3 because your item's only gonna have the 3 affixes, and it can either have 1 empowered affix, 2 empowered affixes, or 3 empowered affixes. And it's apparently it can also be on unique items, which makes me wonder: will it also be on uber unique items? Because it's like there's nothing like. You know, it's like an uber unique, but it didn't roll any greater affixes. You know, for the most part, the uber unique's properties will outweigh the stats, but still is like just one of those ones where it's like, it begins, at least for me and my personal preferences, that it begins to have too many levels of RNG that, you know, at least it's going to be easier to get the good item. You know, but now, like, do I bother with an item with no greater affixes? You know, am I good with just having 2 greater affixes on an item? You know, is that worth putting all the time and effort of then tempering and then masterworking and then lo and behold, oh, there's the one that has the 3 greater affixes on it. Did I waste all of these materials, or am I hoarding all of these materials waiting to get the one item with the 3 greater affixes? And it feels this one, not so much. Like, I'm fine with primals, you know, but don't make a half primal. Make it a whole primal, you know. It either drops with full greater affixes or it doesn't. That's at least my feedback.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and that's kind of why I've hesitated. Like, all of this sounds really great in theory, but, like, if you have a really bad run with RNG, you could be having a real bad time, right? So I don't know. We'll see how that plays out, but it really depends on if it's interactable the same way that primals were. Because, again, the benefit of a primal was it dropped, you're like, okay, GG, right? Like, GG, yeah. I might reroll 1 stat to min-max a little bit, but it was guaranteed max. This is not that. There's still going to be some room for, like, okay, wait, is this GG? Nope. Hang on. I only got 1 affix. I really want to have the 3 there before I start, you know, masterworking and all that stuff too. So look, I agree with Nineball. Like, again, to bring it back to that line, it's RNG in a Diablo game. It's going to happen. There's so many layers to it that it could be bad. But that's also what PTR is for, right? So, like, let's test it. Let's see how it goes. Maybe there's going to be some tweaks and stuff. And they did stress that the reason for pushing the date back on the season is so that they can actually take feedback and implement it prior to season 4 starting, or with the season 4 launch, I guess. So that's good. And look, if the Diablo team has done anything right in the last year, it is be communicative and transparent about what they're doing. And listen to feedback, right? Mm-hmm. They've definitely done a great job of acknowledging that and implementing things as quickly as they were able to implement them. So I trust the team. We're on the right track, I think, big time. But like 9, that is a lot of layers of RNG. So I'm a little nervous about it.
For me, it struck me as one of those things that I guess it just didn't feel as necessary with the combination of masterworking and the tempering. That, yeah. Yeah, suddenly just like, hey, let's add in this extra layer to the items where, like, what was good is no longer good, even though you can make it better through our systems. But I'm going to hold off judgment until I actually see it. But if this were to be cut, it wouldn't, like, it really wouldn't hurt, in my opinion, yeah. Currently. If it doesn't make it, I'd be okay.
Because this is actually, like, even more impactful than a Primal, because a Primal was just max rolls. You know, like, you could have an Ancient Legendary that was near max, and a Primal was only a minor upgrade to it. You know, just because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, this chess piece that I had was already rolled, you know, like 700 int and like 689 vitality. And so, like, getting a primal of it just gives me a couple more points of vitality. This one gives a, you know, a 50% multiplier to the affix that it randomly rolls on the item. So it is a huge upgrade. And it's just like one of those ones where I'm sure that, like, I feel as if, like, the developer's intent is that, like, it's like it's a nice thing. Like, you lucked out and got a legendary that had, you know, this bonus stat on it. You should feel, like, great about that. But what it actually is going to be like to the player is that I'm not going to waste my time tempering an item or masterworking an item unless it's a 3 of 3 greater affix. And so that means that I'm just going to run by, once I have, like, my Codex to Power, like, filled out for the specific affixes that I want, now I can just run past legendary items, and I really don't even care to pick those up unless it has, like, the Roman numeral 3 next to it. Mm. And everything else is just a waste of time.
Yeah, I think that's what we
did. It just kind of, like, pushed it, you know, to, you know, like, we didn't need blues. We just needed yellows and legendaries. Now we don't need rares. You know, we don't need yellows anymore. Technically, we don't even really need legendaries after a certain point. We just need legendary threes, and everything else is garbage.
Yeah, I think that's a very cogent point right there, because, like, that is what we will do.
And you also cannot re-roll a greater affix at the occultist with the enchanting system. And if you roll a greater affix at the enchanter, you lose it.
Yep.
So it'll turn back into a normal affix. So that is, like, one of those ones where it's just like, it just, you know, it's like, just has to be, like, good enough. Maybe for, like, you know, like, some classes, some builds, like, you'll get 2 offensive aspects and, like, max life, and you really don't care about the max life. And so you're good with just, like, a 2 of 3 item, and you can just go from there. You know, but if you really want to, like, min-max everything and push, you know, the pit, or, you know, if the gauntlet comes back in the next season, leaderboards and such, you know, you're incentivized to, you know, basically just hunt down those items.
And the item hunt. You know, I think the big comment with itemization, right, is, okay, so we get our items in a good place. What do we do with them? And I think this season is going to address it in some manner. We're being told there's going to be uber bosses, or uber bosses, right? 200 level versions of the bosses that we've come to tolerate, that we can pit ourselves up against to get, you know, a better chance at uber uniques and resplendent sparks and what have you, which is cool. I would hope that as we move towards season 5, I need more uber Liliths and less uber Grigolas, right? I want really tough bosses to throw my really well-crafted items at, not just steamroll. And I think if we get a few more of those, that would be exciting. I haven't killed Uber Lilith yet. It's on my list, but I keep killing characters. So eventually I will. But knowing she exists is always something I want to push myself towards. I want more of that. And maybe a differently tuned fight, because the one shots in that one are a little dicey. But we are at least knowing that we will have some harder level fights to toss these items up against. It'll be interesting to see what an uber Duriel is like, what an uber Beast and Ice is like, if they're able to retain that challenge, or with the new items they go into steamroll mode. I don't know. I will state that giving every boss a chance at dropping Ubers is a huge win.
Yeah.
I did, before my Necromancer died, I did 15 runs of Zeer. Did not get that shield. And every run felt a little worse as a result of it. But to know that I would have had a chance at maybe an Uber dropping as well, I'd still be disappointed that I didn't get my shield. But at least I had a chance at something else too, where it didn't feel wasteful. Like I'm not just pining for just that one thing. Like, hey, there's still a chance of something cool on this next one. Or I've got 100 mats worth of Beast and Ice. I'm not going to run that, but wait, it's pretty quick and there's a chance at an Uber, so why not? Why not go do it? And with trading, maybe I pick up an item that I could trade for an alt.
Yeah, I was gonna say that that loop kind of breaks with trading in a good way, in a good
Yeah.
way, I think, because you could supersede the whole thing altogether, right? If you really just don't want to, you accumulate wealth through farming dungeons, sell a bunch of stuff, sell some really good rares, get a bunch of gold or whatever the currency ends up being, because we all know it'll probably not end up being gold at some point. It usually usually transitions into something that isn't gold, whether it's SOJs or runes or whatever it was in Diablo 2, and then what eventually evolves, we'll see how it plays out. But right now it's gold, for the most part. So but I think that like that's a funny sentiment to me though, because you kind of like my brain just like turned off when you said that. Can you imagine playing Diablo 2 and getting frustrated that you did 15 Andariel runs and didn't find your Shaco? Right? Like that's we're so spoiled, right? Like,
Yeah.
and I think that that's hilarious to think about nowadays, is how spoiled we are in that regard. Like, we want to have that time investment, but that's also the evolution of gaming in general. And it's a positive change. But I think that opening up the economy allows that, like, what I could do 0 runs and I could still go get that item in a different avenue, and that is awesome. That is a very cool change. So I'm very excited about that. But
To be
yeah,
fair,
adding the Ubers to everyone is nice.
to the Diablo 2 comparison, you didn't have to farm mats to do that boss.
That's true.
So, like
That's true.
that, you do put in a lot of time
Wait,
for, you know,
for Beast and Ice?
for Zeer.
Or yeah.
Are people really running out of mats for Zeer?
I
Because
don't.
like I have literally 400 in my inventory that I don't ever use, and I've never fought him all season.
I would imagine necromancers are,
Ah,
it,
that
because
makes sense.
it Zeer holds, the Lidless Wall for
Yeah.
necros,
Do none
which
of the other bosses also drop?
no, okay,
No,
just
not
gotcha. So
Bloodless, yeah.
it's just Zeer
That
for
makes
that
sense, yeah.
one, and like we've kind of got to the point now too with certain materials. Zeer's mats are still time gated. You're waiting for a
Yeah.
legion. You're waiting for a world boss, and that's it. I still don't care for the living steel rates. I would like to be able to acquire them a little bit faster, but it's better than what it
Sure.
used to be. But yeah, that one's still time gated, so it's not as plentiful. But if you don't, I had a bunch prior to rolling a Necromancer as well, because I just didn't ever run them. Like I had no need to.
Yeah.
But for a necro, you do, and I think you are right though. It'll be nice to be like, hey, I'm looking for this lidless. I've got, 2 Tempest Roars. I'll trade you,
Yeah.
or whatever it might be. And you are right. It will be something else. It will be something else. It will not be gold because it's never logical. It's going to be like Fiend Roses, or
Yeah.
like
Forgotten
just.
souls, if that becomes a thing that we can trade. Yeah,
Right.
like that's yeah, it'll end up being some other currency. 'Cause I
Or
mean like at some point we're just gonna like evolve past gold. Though I will
yeah.
say though the gold has so many uses in Diablo 4 that maybe that's not the case, right? Like gold is so valuable, but one of the other things we have not mentioned, which is also part of itemization that I'll bring up now too, is the capping of enchanting. That will no longer
Yeah.
scale infinitely. Now it'll still get expensive, is what they said. But like, dude, like I've got an amulet right now that's like 57 million to reroll it. And yeah, I definitely rerolled it a couple times at like 20, 30 million, which is what got it to 57 million. And I was like, I shouldn't have done that to begin with. You know, I should, like, because usually when I get to, like, 10 million, I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this item. Like, I've given up. Might as well throw it in the trash at this point. Or I'll just use it a little suboptimally. But this one amulet, man, it was like Biss rolls on, like, two pieces. I think I had, like, max cool. It was nuts. And I just could not get the right passive, which is very frustrating. But, yeah, them capping it is going to be another positive, too, which helps with that, too. But there's still a lot of gold sinks in the game, so I'm curious how that's going to affect that as well.
Yeah, I think that will it'll be interesting. One thing to bring up, as we're talking about trading, we're talking about gold, is this will open up RMT. It's not to say it hasn't already been there. There are still sites that are selling gold, that are selling boss mats. I'm kind of happy to see Blizzard just go, it doesn't matter what restrictions we put on it, people are going to do this. So let's just make it so that it is a game that people can enjoy and trade items. And if people are going to sell them, and I'm sure they're going to combat it as best they can, but if they're going to sell items, we can't stop them as much as we would hope. It's going to be a better game having these options as opposed to putting in a system where we can't trade. People are going to buy things. I've seen many a post on Reddit talking about the amount of Duriel runs people have done and saying how they have purchased items to do that. Purchase the bossing mats. It's the same thing. People are going to spend money on these items. Not everybody's going to, though. I don't think the vast majority of us should suffer as a result of a minority. That being said, get your credit cards ready, boys, because I'm going all the way. No, I'm kidding. That's not how I'm going to make the top 10. I'm going to do it legit.
Going a different kind of hardcore.
It's Diablo Immortal now. I'm kidding. We don't talk about Diablo Immortal. So, with itemization kind of in our rear view, while the game is going to be changing, the classes we play are going to be changing a little bit as well. We were shown a few things, given a few bullet points, and told that we will be getting patch notes next week to kind of really dig in to understand everything. I thought there was a good preface of, like, normally we would give you a full list of what are nerfs. This is going to be too big. We're going to give you the patch notes. You're going to have a PTR. And I think that's fine. But we were given some tastes of what our class will be. To cover the druid just briefly, we saw lacerate's going to change a little, so it might actually be a skill you try as opposed to completely bypassing. Full disclosure, I'll bring it up. I've killed a few level 100 druids in my day. I've used lacerate 0 times, so I might actually try it. That's kind of exciting. And there's been some change to minions, but it's going to affect me. Nightbolt, what's going to happen to minions?
So the big one that they announced is that minions are now going to inherit 100% of the player's stats instead of 30% of the player's stats. Which there's some more information required because, like, the way that minions work right now, so say that you have a buff that increases, like, your damage by 100%. The minions kind of, like, will double dip a little bit because the buff will apply to them, although negated, and then they will gain then the third of, like, the bonus that's given to you. You know, so there's some elements that double dip, and we'll be interested in seeing if that continues to have an effect, or if they're just going to cancel that out completely now that they're just getting 100% of their stats. There was Johan on Twitter that had asked the question if I think that this is going to solve all of the Skellymancer, Summoner Necro issues. I'm not sure. You know, obviously the minion scaling was one of them, but even then, like, just they still need to do more. You're still going to have like aspects and not, you know, it's like the summoner, I'm tangenting, but like the summoner necro like aspects are like all over the place and are like extremely tiny buffs. You know, it's like, oh, you have to spend like two of your aspects for skeletal minions and skeletal mages, which wasn't in here, but I think I can say that the developers told us like those are being merged into a single aspect. So now you'll just have one aspect that gives you your bonus warriors and mages, which thank goodness. You know, so it looks like there is going to be more than what they previewed here. In addition, like the Book of the Dead changes, like with your the Reaper skeletons, the windup attack reducing your cooldown by 3 seconds. That is amazing. Just because, you know, you have five of those reducing all of your cooldowns by 15 seconds, like every 10 seconds, sounds great. You know, that
right.
Like that is going to be huge. For a lot of it, just with also some of your like the other buffs, the cold mages no longer have to have a frozen target, so cold mages applying vulnerability will work on bosses now, and then the iron golem can replace corpse tendrils, kind of. There's the aspects they have to deal with, but the iron golem smash now pulls all the enemies into it, so there's like that's great, that's good, you know, because like you're using up so many of your buttons just on your minions that putting some functionality into those buttons to replace other skills is good. Like is the 100% minion buff enough? No, but it looks like there's a lot more to it besides just the 100% you know, stat sharing.
In tandem with that, they did also state that using your golem skill would make you and the golem unstoppable.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, they added that in the campfire chat just briefly. And that's pretty huge.
Yes.
To have a minion-based unstoppable. That makes it exciting.
Right now, our only unstoppable is Blood Mist.
Blood Mist, yeah.
Or Metamorphosis in your boots so that you could evade. But
yeah.
To actually have your, and it seems, and they just said it, like it that is just part of the golem. It's not a iron, blood, or bone golem thing. It's just use your golem skill and boom, unstoppable.
I'm excited. I just have to say, I'm excited. Especially like if they fix like some of the other issues and stuff like that, like a shadow summoner build, like a shadow based summoner build sounds right up my alley, and you know, if they I'm really looking forward to next week going through and seeing what the patch notes are. I do hope that I have the time to play the PTR, just IRL stuff.
And you will yeah. have the time. Manifest put it into the universe.
I put it into the universe, but I also have like I can only sit at a computer for so long with
make a vision board.
Yeah, makes sense.
Read the secret. I was sharing a little bit pre-stream. These kind of changes, it makes me. I'm still gonna start a druid, like that's just my life choice. But necro is gonna be the second in line. You know, having played a little bit with it this season, I love the class, but I hate that the most optimized way is to get rid of all the minions. Like I like them. And this does feel like I'm going to be choosing minions more.
The Diablo 2 Necromancer literally invented, you know, that archetype of class in all video games that have come since.
Yep.
Yeah. And the current iteration, like as you're playing, it feels more like a dark sorcerer than it does a necromancer. And I don't want to play a sorcerer. I want my skeletons to be chopping things around me while I hang out in the back and have a cigarette. Like, that's just... Go, boys. You know, that's what I want. That's my style. Coming back to the druid, those kind of minion buffs are also going to apply to our minions. Really, it's just the wolves. it's still going to be a little ways off from having the Zoom answer that we really want. But it'll be interesting to see. And then, like, seeing those changes with the Book of the Dead, they didn't allude to changing the Druid class mechanic, but man, would it be nice. If there's a class mechanic that could use a little polish, it's that one, because it's more of a stunt stick for each spirit. If each of those spirits had kind of like what we're seeing with this revamp on the Book of the Dead, ooh, that would be exciting. But I'm not going to complain. We're still eating really well with this new season, and maybe Druid gets a little look next time. What about the Sorcerer? What's it got going on?
I'm so excited. I'll start by saying that I feel like the Sorcerer is in a very good place. There is a lot of diversity in, like, while it's not all doing like what Ball Lightning does, because yes, like for those that are not following, Ball Lightning is the build for Sorcerer still, even after the nerfs and the bug fixes. What I would say is secondarily for like for a Blizzard build, which is better for like single target and bossing, though Ball Lightning does very well for that too. Blizzard just does crazy stack damage, especially with ice spikes and stuff. But I mean, like, I'm playing a charge bolt build in my run. Like, it's really more of a Nova build, because I remember I talked about it before, but I got an Andariel's Visage to drop, so I wanted to utilize that poison Nova. So, and there's a one of the skill tree things for charge bolt makes it to where if all three of the bolts hit an enemy, it Novas. So I wanted to kind of like recreate like a Diablo 2 Nova Sorc in Diablo 4 as best I could. It's headcanon stuff, it's not real, but it was fun. It's been a good time. I was running Fireball at different points in the season. I started the season doing a Meteor build, which was really strong. I tried out a Conjuration build with Hydras, which wasn't great. But I mean, I could clear, Helltide and stuff like that just fine. So I mean, I feel like the Sorcerer's in a really good spot. But they're finally changing the thing. Frozen Ore will no longer be stupid, and that's awesome. I've always felt it is really dumb, especially if like general fantasy lore about sorcerers and wizards and the differences between those two things. That as a sorcerer, my Frozen Orb just has a timeout distance, right? Like, when I throw that Frozen Orb, no matter how smart or how in tune with the elements my character is, it's always going to go 20 feet and explode. That seems really dumb. And so now they're changing it to where wherever you click or proc send the attack, it will explode there. So if you want to make it melee and click right in front of your character, and then you just have Frozen Orb exploding in front of you, which is awesome. You want to go real far with it, you can do that, and that gives you a little more ownership and agency again over the damage you're doing and how you're doing it, which turns Frozen Orb into a true skill shot, which I think is awesome, especially for PvP. Though it'll get wrecked in PvP, it won't work in PvP very well. Frozen Orb's pretty easy to dodge. But yeah, super, super excited about that change. That's a big change. There's a lot of Frozen Orb love coming as well too. They talked about that a bit with some buffs and stuff. But there is an item, a new unique amulet coming that I'm very, very excited about, that allows your Frozen Orb to proc a random conjuration spell, and then your conjuration spells that are casted from that will also proc more Frozen Orbs. So imagine a world where you throw a Frozen Orb and a Hydra comes up out of the ground and starts spitting fire on dudes, and then it procs another Frozen Orb, which then procs a lightning spear, right? That zips around the room, which then procs another Frozen Orb, which then procs a magic weapon that just starts smacking. It's just such the D&D sorcerer like fantasy. It's so cool. I love the idea. They added in some really cool things with Conjuration Mastery, which is already a passive ability that the sorcerer gets, where you get increased percent base damage on everything that you do based on the amount of conjurations that are out. Right, so this is going to see a buff from that. If you got five or six conjurations out, you're taking, you're doing 15% more damage now, which is just flat damage, which is nice. That's huge. They're also making mastery skills count as core skills now. So your meteors, your blizzards, all that stuff will now benefit from plus to core skills, which means their damage can go up a lot more. Your firewall source out there, I'm looking at you, because holy shit, the damage you're about to do is nuts. Firewall sorcs, I feel like, are going to be on the rise in a big, big way, because firewall already does crazy damage, and then you add in X-Falls Ring, which gives you great AoE explosions. And then now you're going to be able to like stat in all of the core skill damage to keep boosting Firewall. Holy shit, that's going to be nuts. I am very excited.
Burning up?
Okay, yes, Dad. Yes, it's, yes, they are dead.
It's on fire.
Yeah. It's but no, lit. Man, I'm... fellow kids. I'm very excited. It is... Yeah, very exciting. I mean, honestly, like, there's not a whole lot I can say about it. I obviously haven't got to test it yet. In theory, it all sounds awesome. I already feel like the Sork is in a really good spot. It's fun to play. I would say it's the funnest, or the most fun I've had playing a caster class in an ARPG. Yeah, it's really good. Not to say that there's not other great Sorks and wizards and stuff in other games, but... the Diablo 4 Sorcerer has felt really, really good the last few weeks, last few months, really since Season 3. And this seems like it's going to get a lot better. So definitely excited. I'm definitely going to be maining a Sork in Season 4, go figure. Yeah, very excited.
Who'd have thought?
I want to give it a try just because that new amulet reminds me of like one of my favorite builds from Diablo 2 was the Rift Kicker.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Just, oh, man.
Just because it's like you just do like... You kick like one thing and then all of a sudden the screen is just covered in tornadoes and frozen
colors, colors
yep. everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I was playing with a current build because like, you know, frozen orb has been viable in as a utility spell kind of like you can enchant frozen orb so that when you cast other spells and you spend enough mana, you start throwing frozen orbs randomly. So you could build a firewall build, but after like two or three casts of firewall, you're throwing a frozen orb as well, which is proccing cold damage on things, which is giving you an extra stack on Tal'Rashas, which is, you know, there's so many cool things to it. I just think that, like, the design of the Sork has been really, really cool overall. And this is just, they're really nailing it with this. Whoever's in charge of Sork stuff, you're winning right now, and I appreciate you big time. I appreciate you big time. And I'm very, very, very thrilled to go check this out. Honestly, I'm more excited about the Sork changes than any of the changes to the actual game. I'm so excited for the Sork changes right now. And it was already a great class. I was already having a lot of fun. So, very pumped.
Hard not to be. We'll cover the last two classes quickly because we don't play them. Rogue.
Barb is getting nerfed.
I have a barb. I've got about 100 barb this season. I've been a charge barb I've been playing. He's fun.
Everybody's got a charge barb. That's not... I'm kidding.
It's fun.
They're good. Barb, you are right. Barb is getting nerfed. We're seeing a 10% damage reduction. Or not damage reduction. 10%
The inherent damage reduction that they added in when barbarians were having troubles at the beginning of the game in the preseason, you give them a 10% DR just to help them out. And then now they no longer need it. They probably will barely even notice the loss of it, to be honest.
If you kill everything in a second, do you get damage to begin with?
Yeah. Charge, Hammer, the Ancients, and the Unbridled Rage are all getting nerfed. They're nerfing some of the other, the Banished Lord's Talisman is also getting nerfed, which is one of the big things that barbarians are using to get some of their obscene damage numbers. But double swing, dust devils, stonks up on dust devils. I hope you like tornadoes.
I thought that was kind of cool. I liked seeing Adam Jackson kind of geek out about dust devils. I mean, like, this is awesome. We gotta do this.
Without even seeing the patch notes, and despite, you know, me going through and saying how much the barb's going to be nerfed, I'm still probably going to say that going into Season 4, the barb's going to be one of the best classes in the game still.
Yeah.
We know how this goes. Nerf we barb, and it's still goes. The best class in the game. Yeah, yep.
Still,
it is Barbarian 4 is really the name of this game. So.
Yeah. Not seeing the patch notes yet, I don't foresee Barb making some sort of precipitous decline. They're still going to be good. As we're mentioning before, you can take away 10% DR, but if they don't actually get hit, it doesn't matter because they do ridiculous amounts of damage. And I think a lot of it too, like with Barb, like going back to preseason and all that kind of stuff, people just didn't have the builds put together to see its true potential. Shout out to like content creators like Rob out there who have just kicked up these amazing things with Barbarian to get them where they are. And I would imagine Rob is theory crafting a way the second those patch notes hit to keep the Barb in its upper echelon of power. So we're not drinking to the death of the Barb. It's still going to be good.
They'll be fine, and if it's not, they'll fix it. They've proven that. I don't think anything's going to get too far out of line. They've done a really good job of keeping all the classes pretty close, with the exception of, you know, Necromancer mobility until recently. So, you know, obviously that was a problem. But, you know, for the most part, you know, there's a lot of equity across the classes. But Barb is still king.
I think the other part is we're talking about classes is we're just given small snippets. We know there's going to be new class uniques for everybody. I assume what we saw with this with the sorcerer was what you would be getting. We don't know the
Tyrael's Might.
We saw the uber unique. We did see Tyrael's Might. Good to see it back, right?
It looks interesting too.
Like that's the fun part of an uber is it should be interesting. Good on. We didn't talk about this with the gauntlet, but they made that spear actually have a purpose. We're having a shrine was actually like, oh, this is effective in a gauntlet. Any other time I would be disappointed if that was my uber unique. I still haven't found one anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, we got Tyrael's Might. But we also still have more that we're going to find out. What is the necromancer unique? What is the druid unique? What's the rogue got up its sleeve, which will also shake things up.
If they're anything close to the level of awesome that the sorceress one is, they could be half as awesome as the sorcerer one is, and I will be fulfilled, to be honest.
Well, in tandem with that, we're also going to get new aspects too. So who knows what those are going to be? Like, there's a lot for as much and as long as this campfire chat was, there's still a lot about season four that we don't know. We don't know what the season four mechanic is going to be, what new power is going to be unearthed in that. We don't know about new aspects. We don't know about what will come of our sensual companion. How are those runes going to be integrated? Are any of those powers going to be grabbed? So there's a lot of other things. There's still malignant hearts that have not been incorporated back into the game. There are still vampiric powers that have not been incorporated back into the game. There's still a lot of stuff that could be incorporated that we don't know about yet. So I think that there's still a lot more excitement. We don't have all the answers yet, but we are going to be testing soon in, you know, a couple of weeks, April 2nd. Fire it on up on PC, of course. And test it out. I'm super stoked. There's still more, right? There's always more that we could go into. We didn't talk about Indariel. She's back. We get to fight her.
Yay! Batter. I'm excited. That fight looks pretty cool. They pulled away, so we did the whole thing and all the affixes, but it looked cool. It's different than the story fight, so.
Right, and I liked the Indariel fight to begin with. In tandem with that,
I just like Indariel. She's awesome, so.
It's a fun fight. You don't get to do it because it's, you know, like wedged in the story, and nobody does story mode anymore. And then just like to shadow drop that they've changed the zoom.
We
can zoom out further. Like, hey, guys, guess what? Remember that thing you've been complaining about for all of the time? Well, we did something about it. We zoomed. And granted, there's always going to be complaints of like, oh, we need to zoom out further. But like, that's awesome. I'm going to zoom way the fuck out.
I am definitely going to go through and zoom out.
It's going to be.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And the fact that it wasn't As we talk about our little preview that we got, that wasn't a part of it. We didn't, and nobody said anything until the Q&A section. I'm like, does it seem a little bit more zoomed out? Oh yeah, actually we've done that. We made that happen. You can do that. That's awesome. And more. We can't talk about it all. But man, I feel like I could.
We get patch notes next week.
Right.
Yeah.
And there'll be plenty to talk about there. Probably no episode next week, but maybe I'll be back. I'll be back on the 3rd. I'll be jet-lagged as shit, but maybe we'll throw something together and we can chat about how the PTR has been going. As we wrap it up, any final thoughts after what has been probably the most well-received campfire chat in Diablo history?
Just really, really excited for what's coming. You know, I feel like we always say that after campfire chats. You know, we come out of them and go, okay, cool. We've got some really good ideas, some really cool things brewing, things like that. I thought the guy, you know, the team they had on the campfire chat was really good as well too. Again, I really want to give credit to the development team and especially the developers that are conveying this message. Joe Pipora and Shelley are always, you know, really great to hear from. Adam Jackson continues to just blow me away. I think that guy just has such a passion for this game. I love hearing him talk about the changes and the classes, and he seems like a really great developer. Charles did a fantastic job. Adam's always super charming and awesome. So yeah, just a great team. We're in really good hands, I feel like, and I'm really excited to see what happens. And again, I'm a sorcerer, so I'm super fucking excited right now. So just give me the PTR.
Yeah, happy to see the PTR. You know, they say that they want to go through and get this right, even though, like, you know, we all trust that the developers have, you know, the best intentions in mind, and that they want to make this the best ARPG that it really can. That just going through and doing the PTR is such a huge step forward with helping to meet community expectations. As well, you know, it helps to set expectations and gives the ability to have feedback prior to, you know, gigantic changes, you know, going into the game, and then, you know, having to go through and fix things. I know they said that there's not going to be a PTR for every single season, but if they're going to have something, a change of this magnitude or of this importance, they will do it. And so, you know, good on them.
It's been a pretty cool day as a Diablo fan. Having been privy to some of the information beforehand, it's been exciting to, one, be able to talk to you guys about it, because it's so great. But then also to kind of watch the reaction come in to things that I felt I was excited for. And then also to learn new stuff today as well. I will state my only complaint is that my drive to play Diablo 4 right now is low because I want to play that Diablo 4.
Yeah.
But if that's my main downside, we're doing okay. So let's close it out as we always do with a moo, moo, moo.
Ooh.
Moo.